for some reason, I've contracted cold. That's unusual, I must say. But that may be due to a little bit change of climate, and especially from the heat of last Saturday, the coldest, the hottest December the 4th on record. So your paper said. And now to why it's exactly the opposite of that. Yesterday, as Brother Barton suggested, I tried to impress upon you young men the necessity of knowing something outside the Bible. And I'd like to restate matters of that kind today. You'll be called upon, if you ever amount to anything, to make addresses before clubs, before high school, and at college chapel exercises. I've observed and had a lot of experience along that line. And about 10 preachers out of 9, if there be such a thing possible, call upon them anywhere, on any occasion, for a talk, and they have to preach a little sermon. That's all they know. And if you just knock them off from a sermon outline, I have nothing else to say. So, boys, let's get a broad conception of the affairs of life. And when you're at certain places, make an address suited to the occasion. And not always be moping around as one that has his nose forever in the Bible. Folks don't like that. And you find that people will shun you because they don't want to be around the preacher and say they'll do something or say something. But study matters in general, try to retain them, cultivate your memory. And always you can by associating something that you know and have in mind with some other thing. Just like a fellow, by the way, who went to the doctor to get a prescription, and he gave him one, but the fellow lost it. And he was terribly bothered. But he went down to the druggist and suggested his predicament, that I thought maybe you might help me to remember just what it was. So it seemed to sound like some town in England. And name over who? Well, the fellow said, well, there's London, no. There's Southampton, no. There's Birmingham, no. There's Manchester, no. Liverpool, that's what he said. God is little Liverpool. And here she was, that's exactly what the point was regarding it. I'm going to present to you this morning an outline of Bible history, which I think is a good one. Some of you may have one equally as good or perhaps better. But this has appealed to me for a long, long time, and I have presented it time and again to students in classes. And it will help us to get a general outline and view of the Bible. And just to see my father, why I ask Brother Barnum to put this board in here and since you, I call your attention by suggesting that just as you had yesterday in the history of America about the five periods, and I just wonder if you have forgotten them, the best way to teach is by repetition. You don't get things as rapidly as folks think you do sometimes, and hence it's over and over and over. Now, I said to you quite seriously that American history about the five periods first, what might be properly called the ab origine period, that which begins at the distant past and comes down to a definite event, namely, to the discovery of this country, 1492. And in that period, you have the three characters that I mentioned, the Northmen, the Mound Builders, and the Indians. Then you have a different setup, by the way, when the world is built upon exploration. Hence the second period of discovery from 1492 to 1607, and the five nations, England, France, and Spain, and Holland, and Portugal, actually trying to discover and get slower things. After that, the third period of settlement, beginning with Jamestown, 1607, and going on down to 775, settlement and development. Then the Revolutionary period, and after that, beginning in 1789, and you have the national period, it comes on down to the present. Now learn what's within each of those, and forget the others, and the weapons mastered, and then pick up the next three forms. Now, this thing in Bible affairs, the first few weeks, our full attention is the period of the earliest uses of mankind, from time unknown to 1921 B.C. And that's all the period of the study of the earliest uses of mankind, beginning with Adam and going down to the next principal event, which was the fall of Abraham. Now, if you just use your head a little bit and think, that period is divided into two parts. First, they were united and all speak the same thing, and next they were dispersed. Now, question, how long? Well, they were united from time unknown down to the building of the Tower of Babel about 2234 years B.C. And they were dispersed, of course, from 2234 on down to 1921. And thus you have the first period with the event marking the difference between it and also the truth. As this will occur. Now then, let's get on the inside of that period. It goes from, I'll let you put it down, but I won't put the Bible. It goes from Genesis 1:1 to Genesis 11:26. And all those chapters that far are devoted to this one thing, the study of the early ages of mankind. Well, the events in that correspondence, of course you know them, first the creation, after that, by the way, the temptation scene in the happy home prepared for them, next the worship on the part of Cain and Abel, the first child born upon the earth, and then you have the family record of Adam, from Adam down to Noah, 10 generations, and I think you'll learn it. Adam, Seth, and Enoch, and Shannon, Harry, Jared, Enoch, Methuselah, Lamech, and Noah, and all become just familiar to you as Cain said in the family, Bob, and Jim, and Jim, and Tom, and so on, and it's just so. And then you have the marriage beginning of the sons of God, supposedly sons of Abel, took unto themselves wives, daughters of Cain. And wickedness began to multiply and grew to such an extent that God said that his truth will not always fly over man, yet his truth shall be 130 years. That is, 130 years from that time when there was a flood. At this time, all the earth was baptized in the big flood, and left the earth except Noah, his family, and just such animals as God told us to transfer. Well, after that, you have the ninth chapter of Genesis, the record of no pointing of vengeance, drank of the vine thereof, and the fruit of it, and became just. Notwithstanding the fact that the Bible said, there is a just man and perfect in his generation. Now we are perfect by comparison, and relative to speech. Noah would not be considered perfect today by modern standards, but as compared with the rest of the world at that time, he towered above them like any Christ peak amongst the rocks. Hence, he was perfect in his generation. Oh, just like he was there, that he was a great man in his day. And we are great sometimes by reputation when not we were. Oh, what a damn your son, based in my home once for 3 days. And a very fine entertainer, good guest to have me home. And when someone asked him about his affairs, he said, sir, I'm not the man I used to be, and never was. You can look the past yourself. The members of us, we're not what we used to be, and never were what we used to be, by the way. Well, thus you have it. Now, they were all one language and of one tongue, and they were quick to build a tower. By means of this, they could climb to the vaulted planet of heaven, pierce the sun, and walk in upon the throne of Jehovah. Now, according to tradition, that old tower started out 272 feet square, and then upon top of that pyramid like another and smaller dimension, and all up and up and up. And they reached 153 feet. Now that's all tradition. At which time God built the city and confounded their language and scattered them abroad. Then
That is about 2,230 souls. And they were destroyed. And nothing further said regarding them until the sense of a falling out of one character. And the call of Abraham comes as the next one appears, number two.
And so I will begin. And that may now be from 1931 down to 1491, a time of 230 years. Now get the date. Get the date and the event from the call of Abraham to the Exodus from 1931 to 1491, 430 years. Now just stop and think. What passages in the Bible, the side in the Bible, do I learn that? Well, you learn it beginning with Genesis 11 and verse 27, and close out with Exodus, the 14th chapter in the first verse. All the men that pass through now with the call of Abraham. Well, all right. Now, just how is that divided? Well, first, it's a wandering, or rather the journey of the patriarch, and look, the sojourn in Egypt. Hence, I agree with you. Now, they were journeying from 1921 until the time of their wandering, or that period. And hence, they stayed down in Egypt from 1491 on down the line. Now, if you think about the journeys that were made, Abraham was called by the Father, by God Almighty, when he was possibly around 70 years of age. The Bible says he was 75 when the Lord came up. But the call was back of that. And that call was, Abraham, get out from thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house. Well, he didn't do exactly as the Lord suggested, because his father was killed and locked his nephew. And they left early and carried in. And the Lord forced the Euphrates River and traveled for 600 miles right up the river until they came to Haran, which is just a few miles out east of Damascus. And there in his house he was sickened and died at the age of 205 years. Well, that's just the beginning, but still there's another one. So, the next part. Abraham saved his life and loved his nephew with the souls that he had gotten in Haran, left there and started on the southward, and was sitting into the about the middle of Palestine, of Egypt. And there he served as an altar and offered sacrifice in the blood. He then went on down 28 miles south to Bethel and did the same thing. And after that, they went down into Egypt, Abraham, his wife, and Lot. Bible doesn't say what went down, but it did. And I'll tell you why in a minute. They went down into Egypt, Abraham had suddenly, from the side of the beauty of his wife. And I've always hesitated to take me part of me along, because I remember what they left. But so far, I have no trouble along that line up now, two years with me, but I suggest that's for all the time. But I don't think it is all of what Bob Dylan said means to put his life with it. Somebody asked him, why, Mr. Dylan, if you always have your life with you? Well, he said, I'd rather take it easier than to have to kiss a goodbye. That's what feeling my feet down long side, and I think I'm over the roof. But after that revelation was directed by the providence of God, they came back out of Egypt. Exodus, Genesis 13:1. Now you go. Abraham and his wife Sarah came up out of Egypt, and Lot came with them, or went with them. Now the Bible doesn't say that Lot doesn't went down in Egypt. That's the truth that the Bible teaches that everybody necessary came to them. Just like young men did. You couldn't find a Savior like that Christ ever went down into the water. The Bible said when Jesus was baptized, he came up out of the water,
But it says that it went down in here. But he did it twice. That was called the sixth of that conclusion. And the Bible teaches them by necessary inference.
And a very important matter, and yet there's some danger along that line. Well, after Abraham's journey down to Egypt and back, he made his home, by the way, finally at Hebron. When they got back into the land, landed at Bethel, trouble was brewing between the herdsmen of Abraham and that of Lot. And Abraham manifested a spirit of unselfishness, magnanimity, and greatness. When he said, now Lot, here's the whole land, let's have no trouble. You go east and I go west. You go to the land of the valley and I go to the hill country. And Lot, selfish, greedy, avaricious, takes his tent toward Sodom. He ought to have said, now Uncle Abraham, you have Sarah and Sarah's look after. I have nobody on earth. You take first choice and I'll take the other. But that wasn't it. He grabbed the best thing in sight. Why, there were the smiling fields of the plains of the Jordan, and the golden grain, and the rich alluvial soil, and looking for that shoulder. Why, he pitched his head in that direction, and left his home to the view back where they had the big world, the one of the flocks in the hill country. Take that on out, and you see what it means, young man, to have the right attitude in life, and to start out with the right conception of the past, and to be governed by the right standards and the proper criteria as along you go. Well, after that, he went down away to offer his son Isaac from Beersheba, where he moved to Mount Moriah, returning the next thing was to go to bury his beloved wife's soul. When she had died, he wanted to bury her out of his sight. And hence he went to the sons of Heth to ask them for the cave of Machpelah. And they said, we want to give it to you. No, no, I'll buy it. But they insisted that he still refused by suggesting I'll buy the cave. Now, from that, I want to make this observation. Don't go out from the world as dirty and as totally dependent upon the dear virgin. But go independent, and if you have the money, pay for a thing. And not expect the world to hand it to you on the platter because I'm a preacher. When merchants, they've learned me along that line, when a merchant suggests that I have been out being as it's you, I said, look out, he's thinking this with me right now. But being as you now, and a preacher, I'm going to do this. No, sir, you forget that I'm a preacher. And let me be just like other folks. And I'm going to maintain that independence and be wholly aloof so far as direct obligations are concerned. And I like that spirit of independence just for a loop. If need be, let pay for something else. I started to say, stop talking. I'd say the Lord that line, as I've always done. And hence be independent in your affairs. And we get that point. Well, after the girl came and died, being 126 years old, then Abraham went back and for a while stayed, and of course he made matters secure of the sons and daughters of mine. Now that's Abraham's journey. Well, Isaac, like many others, he traveled about a good deal before he got home. And around old Judah, the southwestern part of Palestine, Isaac spent his time visiting worlds with life. He was a worldly. Let me think of something. I had a debate one time with a fellow, and there's a lot of young people all the time bobbing up. What to say this fact and that fact and the other fact. And they bored all this, by the way, with some of that time. A.T. Johnson, my moderator, suggested I'm going to fix them. And at one period, he got up and said, now, I haven't said anything about that so far, but I have two of the questions that I've ever known that I might present to you. And here they are. One of them is Baldwin and Horsecroft, and the other is Johnson and the other. And there are two books there from the other one. That settled the practice from the problem. So, Isaac was engaged in digging wells most of all, and then the other patriarch, Abraham, Isaac and some followers of Jesus.
Nathan's father suggested that he would back to pay an agent for getting a wife. He didn't want to marry like Esau, Helen. So he took a long journey from Beersheba northward. And the first night, he came when the shepherds had gathered round the valley, and by the slow of Ian, our place to stay, so he sailed away the rock, and buried in the bed, got of a stone, used for a pillow, and there he slept and dreamed the dream regarding the land, and woke up, saying, this is another in the house of God, and he named it Beth Earl, which means the house of God. And he took that stone which he used for his pillow, and set it up for his pillow, and buried it above. But if the Lord was given to you, you can win the Lord and bring it back in all faith. But whatsoever you have, one thing should be the Lord. And thus was the beginning of the timing of the sons of Abraham. The Lord in his work and medicine was the lady, fell in love with his first children and married two of them, and then had two other ones thrown into the and his family, four, where his children were born, 12 sons and one daughter died. He stayed there either 20 or 30 years. I'm inclined to think 40 years. After which, he suggested his father-in-law that you have my possessions and go back. And hence, he journeyed back to the land of Palestine. And thus you have the journey. And then, as you quite well know, they went down to the country of Egypt. Joseph having sold and had been sold in advance. And finally, old Jacob and the rest of his brothers. 70 souls, said they come to me, have the moved, went down to the country of Egypt, and there they stayed for 250 years. Well, all right. Now let's get to the third group. After the call of Abraham, why you have the Israelite people. That's keeping you, I think. Clearly. Israelite people. Well, that goes from 1491, when they had their Exodus, down to 1085, the establishment of the kingdom. It's through the 486 years. Now, let's get to the events that took place. Just what did the Israelite people do? Up to this time, they've been marked by famine. But they become two women now, so they become a people. And God gives them a written law by which they're to be governed for the next 1500 years. Now, just what happened to them during that time? Well, first of all, they wandered in the wilderness for a further long year, from 1491 to 1461. Well, the next thing was the settlement in Canaan. And the third thing was the rules of the judges. And thus you have the three prominent events of that period. Now, why can you study them? Well, from Exodus 14:1 on to become the first family of the eighth chapter and judges the first chapter. Now, that's right. And there you get it. Now, just what happened during that time of their wandering? Well, they went on their way across the Red Sea. They had an experience at Merlin, and likewise down in the region where they were spread their palm trees and strange galore. They bathed up with the Rephidims, some of the older settlers of Palestine, and with the Amalekites, and then on to Mount Sinai where they stayed for a year. And during that year, four things came to pass. First, that is the meeting of the Lord. Second, that is the worship of the calf and the destruction of about 3,000 souls. Third, that is the building of the tabernacle, God's house of gold upon the foundation of service. And next, that is the number of organizers of the people who are for a 5 months. All of that comes under his youngest. And then before Moses died, in the land of Moab, there were certain things that came to pass. One was, and I may not recall all of them, but there is the episode of David that came down to Christ. There was a refinement of the Israelites with the Moabite women. birth. There was, by the way, the giving of the recitation of the law. Deuteronomy, the second law of the recitation of it. Nick, the campaign against the Moabites. And Nick, the citadel of Reuben, Joel and half the land. And finally, the birth of Moses. All of that occurred during that time. Now, there it is. Before Moses died, the Amorites occupied all east of the Jordan River. A wonderful big country, so big that it had to have two capitals and two kings. Old Sihon in the south and Old Og, for whom they had no space to live in the northern part. And thinking that the Israelites might come to their country and devour them, Sihon decided to tear the battle down in the land of Moab, across the river Arnon. And so he took the battle with Moses at a place called Gilead, and he was slain. Moses then went on to the northern part, went on out in battle and defeated the Jews. And that through the entire eastern section, opened the Israelites. And Moses, before he died, planted, Reuben in the south, Gad in the center, and a half tribe of Manasseh in the northeastern part. And thus you have that. Now that was on the ground, by the way, that the warriors should go across the Jordan and help to drive out the seven nations on the other side. Then seven and a half of the tribes went over under the leadership of Joshua and planted their hope for us at Gilgal. And then they planned a campaign of 3 months. First, let's burst out through the center of it. That they did. Then let's turn southward and map up the back side. And then, having done that, let's go north. And finally, those places were driven out. Rather slow was their performance, and they were banished to get going along the line. Now, those are such places as the Jebusites, the Arvites, the Harites, the Gergesites, the Perizzites, no Camelites in the crowd, and the Bethlehemites. Hence, they said in the western part, the people of Palestine have changed in different nations. The first inhabitants, may I here suggest it, the first inhabitants of the land of Palestine were 6 tribes in number. The Russian, the Zunzun, the Indian, the Avian, the Holon, and the Anakin. All of them characterized by their gigantic size and tremendous strength. The Anakims were called the long-necked ones. I used to call them the Grand Peace North, by the long country, the Anakims, because of long, lean, lank conditions. That's the way. But other words, then the next thing, after they got over into the land of Palestine, they didn't know exactly how to behave themselves, and folks hadn't learned yet altogether. They entered into houses which they never did. They drank water from wells which they didn't do. They plucked the fruit from orchards which they hadn't planted. Just imagine us walking right in, and like some fellow said, sitting down in a regular tub of butter. That's what they do. Just like some young fellow marries a girl from a rich father, and the father builds him a home and furnishes it nicely, fits everything just to perfection. Now you look out, 3 to 5 or 6 months, be divorced proceeding. But he has to marry and have to buy them a lot, and then build one room with a hope of adding to it, and one piece of furniture, and on, and have their maid for grind up, and not have to run by garden water every morning to get a gallon of buttermilk. While there's a couple would be happy and contented. And they work out their way and be pleasant, contented and happy and so doing. The divorces in our land are among the upper ten. Why have we either on earth ever the time for one? Because we don't belong in that number. Thereby they wait, and God permitted oppression to come upon them. He sold them and the other nations, 7 in number. And as they were under the oppression of the foreign nations, and they repented of their wrong, God permitted judges, or selected judges rather, to come and deliver them. Hence you have the name of the judges, 15 in number. Now they were not appointed by virtue of any inheritance, but because of their outstanding ability,
no matter where they came from. And those judges are interesting, and some of them have wonderful events that took place during their reign. Now, presume all of the noble judges, Pierce, Arthur, Ehud, Gander, Deborah, Gideon, Abimelech, Tola, Zerah, Jephthah, Gibbs, and Elon, Abdon, Eli, Samson, and Samuel. Boy, you can get all that. I never thought in my life that I had any superiority whatsoever. But by concentration and trying to get a thing, all been attacked by myself. I've seen the time, if I may say it, when I could repeat some of the entire books of the New Testament. I couldn't do it now, perhaps, but that thing can be accomplished. So, just think about it. Do you heard? Old Caleb, when the oppression came, said the one that would deliver the people from the oppression, he gave to him his daughter, Aster, to be his wife. I would not be wondering, and possibly all of it. You know the old statement that if everybody saw like you, we'd get all wanted. But some fellow counted by saying if they all saw it, I did nobody want, unless you have a good reason. Well, the next one was Ehud. And Ehud went against old Eglon, the fat man. Closed the door while he was sitting lying back in the grass, stabbed him, so that he couldn't throw the sword out from his body. And then Samuel drove out the Philistines with Absalom, who was going to punch Absalom under the hand. And after that was Deborah and Barak to join in on the plain of Israel to fight against enemies. And then Gideon, and everybody knows the story of Gideon, he had 22,000 men to go against the Midianites who lay across the valley and took his life out of them. But God said, Gideon, that's too many. Well, of course, that wouldn't be from my point of view if I were engaged in it. Now, so let all the cowards go back. And you know, 22,000 of them turned their backs and beat it back home. But there's 10,000. God said, that's still too many. And I'd be wondering what kind of a general the Lord was, by the way. And he said, now that's 2 minutes. Take it down and watch them drain. And just observe how they do it. Well, 300 of them took water up in their hands and left it like a dog. And 9,700 of them lay down. And as the little girl in my class one time said, with their backs on top. And they drank. Now, God said, let that 9,700 go, and the 300 win the battle. So, we should not be dismissed from the battle of the strong, just as well. No, you pass on from that. And after Gideon, there's Abimelech, not much to him, the Bama king. And then, following Abimelech, is another one, Tola, then Jephthah, Jael. And Jephthah is outstanding because of his peculiar feature about it. He was the son of his father. That's a remarkable issue. And he was banished from the home. The other boys wouldn't permit him to stay on the ground, but he was not the son of their mother. And hence he went out into a distant country. But when opposition came with the Ammonites on the eastern side of the Jordan, they looked all around about and stretched their minds. There was the one fellow they could think of that would be able to be their head in fact. So they had the courage and their progress to go to Jephthah, whom they cast out, and bid him to come back and to be their leader. And he rather ridiculed them and said, "Why, you want me, whom you disinherited, to be back as your leader?" They came with him, and finally he went, with the promise that they'd be subjected under his command. Now, may I just stop and suggest this? You and I would better be mighty careful just what door we cast aside or what person we snub. It may be that someday you'll have to go to that brother fellow and ask if he's right.
Tennessee had some years ago as governor Ben Hooker, who was picked up as a waif on the streets of Knoxville by Captain Hooker of Newport, Tennessee. I knew him quite well, especially went to the office and sometimes to the governor's home. One day I was in the office and I was accompanying him to me. They went back and forth in the other room to make me my wishes. And when they came out, he said, "Hardeman, you know who that crowd was?" I said, "No, I never heard of him or saw him." But those are people with whom I used to live. I went to school with some of them, they wouldn't have anything to do with me. Because they said I was an outsider. But now there are, since I'm governor, coming and begging and pleading for my support and for my help. There's just lots of lessons along the way. Lessons of us, by the way. So those men who said, "Just to come back," well, just to find a deed, and then just made a pledge unto God about it. And Lord, if you let me have victory, the touch upon my body, and I may return home in safety, first, the first thing that comes to meet me out of the door of my home shall be thine, and I'll offer it as a burnt offering unto the Lord. The battle raged and victory was his, and he looked back with the joy of his people anticipating his return. And lo and behold, as you saw, so his story came out to meet him. His only child, beside him he had none other. And he said, "Alas, my brother, thou hast brought me there alone." But look at the kind of a girl she was. "Father, if you said me a thing, or if I'm inside and involved, don't let me or do with me according to whatever you have between me." And there he was between the two. The Bible said he took her and offered her according to the soul. But I'm not going that further because some pages. Well, go on down the line and go to the but let's pass on because the time is not moving far. The first thing is the Israelite kingdom. And that goes from 1095 down to 650. And during that time, they were united for 40 years and then divided and then in a state of decay. Now you know the story was selected as the first one, and by his brilliant deeds at Wilmer's Vineyard, he gained the confidence of the people and they hailed him as king. The outstanding feature of the war, his pursuit David, and his subject in the Mount Gilboa, just south of the plain of Israel. When he committed suicide by killing himself. That's a double header, I suppose. Well, following him, of course, that was David. Against him, enmity had been aroused. David reigned for 40 years, and the principal thing was the gathering up of the Orient and bring back to Jerusalem and make it the capital religious of the entire world. And then he took calamities and tragedies. And then came Solomon, the sage of the ages, his son. The main feature of him was that he built the temple, a type of the New Testament church. So let's get some outlines of that. David, Solomon, and the temple are typical of John the Baptist, of Christ, and of the church. David prepared the material, Solomon built the temple. But now get it, he built it before he died. Apply. John the Baptist prepared the material. Christ built the church. Did he build it before he died or not? Solomon did. He was figure on that God. And thus get rid of your Pentecost idea. Well, Pentecost came after Christ died, but Solomon built the temple before he died. And he's a type of Christ. Therefore, Christ must have built the church before he died. What do you say about it? And don't therefore get out and want to skin some Baptist. Because it might turn out the other way. It'll skin you from town lots of dungeon. Well, that's what my father. Now then, upon the vision of the matter, the days of Rehoboam, Jeroboam, as you know,
took 10 out of the 12 tribes and went down to Bethel and set up a system that dwelt with the Hivites. That continued all down until 1721,
at which time the 10 tribes had become so
God-given and free-spirited, and lacking in backbone, they stood for nothing. Therefore, the great Assyrian nation up here to the northeast took them in, and from that time, 2 Kings 17:21, there's not a hint or a trace of the Samaritan kingdom, the 10 tribes of the northern kingdom. They were absorbed, but the 2 little tribes of Judah and Benjamin kept battling on. Until by and by, a great battle was fought at Old Carthumus, way up on the shores of the River Euphrates, between Nebuchadnezzar of the east and Pharaoh Mithra of Egypt. The world wasn't big enough for 2 kings and monarchs back there, so they decided to have it out. And the battle was fought, with the result that Nebuchadnezzar was victorious. That let him be king of all the nations. After that battle, 600 AD, he swept down the Jordan Valley in 606 and subjected the 2 tribes to pay tribute unto Babylon, of which he was the king. And the last year, and I make it a secret of the Jewish provinces, and that goes from 606, by the way, down to 70 AD. And now, I'll put it right here. They were first under Babylonian rule from 606 to 536. They were next under the Medo-Persian rule from 536 down to 330. They were then under the Grecian or Macedonian rule from 330 down to 168. And then they were nominally independent under the Macedonian country from 168 down to 63. At which time they were under the Roman rule, with Pompey as the first one from 63 down to 70 AD. And thus you have the entire story of it. Hence, from 606 BC, when Nebuchadnezzar subjected the 2 tribes, Judah and Benjamin, to Babylonian control, he allowed them to remain in Palestine for 19 years. But when Zedekiah rebelled, they were carried away to Babylon, 587. And there they stayed until the repeal of Cyrus, 536. Therefore, the 7 years of captivity is from 606 to 536. And when a stronger government arose, Cyrus and his uncle Darius, the Medes and the Persians, they took possession, 536, and held sway, making the Jews take tribute to them to 330. And then came that character, Alexander the Great, that swept over the earth and subjected all the nations under him from 330 down to 168. And at that time, old Mattathias of the Maccabean culture rose up with his 5 sons and such balance as were thought the history of the world does not recall. If you don't have a place out here between the testaments, your Bible department is that much lacking. Some of the most thrilling discussions and battles and victories lie between the year 168 and the year about 63 B.C. When such characters as Simon, Jonathan, John Hyrcanus, and Aristobulus, and those others are the sons of Maccabean preachers, surrendered and sacrificed their lives, but finally they had to capitulate, and hence the Romans took possession and were in control. Now may I suggest to you the character of a government of Palestine from that time on, in the year 4 B.C., old Herod the Great was king of all Palestine, but he died. And after his death, all Palestine was divided into 4 parts called Tephites. And a Tephites is upon the over there. Now here they are. Over Judea and Samaria, there was appointed Archelaus.
over Galilee and Judea